Well, if you're glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm in the right place here with the right bunch of people. I come out here to preach you the Word of God, and all I'm going to do is preach to you what I preach to my own people. If you say, man, that's weird, I've got weird people at my church too. So I'm preaching to you the same thing. I've just been saving up all my good messages through the year, and I said, this is a good one. I'm going to preach it out in Canton, Ohio. Put it in my suitcase. And picked up another one and said, this is one I want to preach out in Canton, Ohio. And stuck it in my suitcase. So don't think I'm just preaching just to you. But I am. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now I want you to take your Bible tonight. And I want you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And pick up verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, pick up verse 20. I want you to underline something in 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 20, I want you to underline this statement. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Let's go and let's pick up... Let's pick up verse 16 instead. Go back and pick up verse 16. And get your pen, underline some things. Let's go to the Lord first before we mess up real bad. Amen, brother? And dear Lord Jesus, we're coming before the throne of grace, asking for your mercy that you'll watch over my tongue. Lord, watch over my lips. Watch over my heart. Lord, take out anything that might be in my heart that would be wicked and stupid and dumb. And Lord, help me not say that. And Lord, help me just to say what you want me to say and only what you want me to say. Lord, please fill me with your Spirit tonight. Lord, please fill your people with the Holy Spirit tonight. And Lord, each one of them, Lord, don't miss any one of them. Fill them all with the Holy Spirit that they may understand the Scriptures like you would want them to understand the Scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, here we go in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when they came as a voice to him from excellent glory. And watch what the Father said about the Son. Right in the margin of your Bible, right there, write down Matthew 17, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because this is when that excellent voice took place. Now watch what God the Father says to the Son. This is my beloved Son. Now Peter remembers that, and he's writing it in Scripture because he heard it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter heard that with his ears. Write that in the margin of your Bible right there. Peter heard that with his ears. Come on, stay with me, folks. Write it in your Bible. You'll pick up something just by accident. Verse 18. This voice, that's the voice of God the Father, which came from heaven, we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Matthew 17 again. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Something better than the voice of God from heaven. Something better than just... If God right now tonight come right here and spoke just to you, would you say, Lord, thank you, now I'll obey. Would you? Would you? If you did that, if God spoke to you right from heaven and spoke right to you, would you say, yes, sir, I'll do it tonight? We got something better than that. We got something better. Better than if God spoke to you right now and said, plow the 450 acres down there behind the church somewhere. You got something better. You got this book right here. So write it down. Write it down. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. So ask God to give you a verse and then take heed of the verse. Take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Then the Bible is like a light that shines in a dark place. The dark place is this world. And the Word of God is like a light, like a flashlight shining in a dark place. Until the day dawn. The day dawn meaning when the Lord comes back. And the day star arise in your heart. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16 says that the day star is who, folks? Come on, folks, don't you know who the day star is? You told them, haven't you? They just forgot. The day star is Jesus Christ. The day star is Jesus Christ, and he's supposed to rise in your heart. He's supposed to come up in your heart. The day star is supposed to come up in your heart, and Jesus Christ is supposed to be number one to you. Number one. The one that you worship and serve and love and obey is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's connected with what? The Scriptures. The Scriptures. Then the day star will not arise in your heart until you spend time in the Scripture. Do you want the day star to arise in your heart? Do you want to be like Jesus? I want everybody to say, I want to be like Jesus. You want to be like him, don't you? Don't you want to be like Jesus Christ? Then you got to spend time in the Scriptures. The Bible, stick your nose in the Bible and don't take it out of there. Or you'll never be like Jesus. It's connected with that book right there. Now let's go on. Verse 20. Knowing this first, this is the first thing you ought to know as a Christian. Knowing this first, some things you got to know before you know anything else. Knowing this first. Now watch it. That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Of any private interpretation. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Now I'm going to then, what's he saying? He's saying the Scripture is of absolutely no private interpretation. You say, so when men come to the Bible, they get a verse of Scripture and they say, well, this means this. This means this. This means this. This means this. That's why we have so many religions in America. They've put a private interpretation of Scripture in the Bible. Now write this down. The Holy Spirit interprets Scripture with Scripture. So if you want to learn the Scripture, find another verse over there somewhere in the Bible that explains that verse. It's like a chain. This verse explains this verse, and this verse explains this verse, and it goes right down the line in a chain. The Bible explains itself. Say amen. Amen. All right, now here we go. Take my other text. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and pick up verse 16. And here's my other verse. You've got to have another verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, and now let's pick up verse 16. As also in all his epistles, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are sometimes hard to be understood. Are you all with me? Say amen. Amen. Which they that are, now underline it, they're what? Unlearned. Circle that. That's the problem. Unlearned. Then you've got to learn the Scriptures. You've got to learn the Scriptures. If you don't, you're liable to mess up and mess up bad. Unlearned. And, look at the other cause. Unstable. They're unstable. They're wishy-washy. They can't make up their mind. They're back and forth. They're wishy-washy. They're unstable. Now watch it. Rest as they do other Scriptures to their own what? Destruction. Then what do? They take the Bible and they rest the Bible. They take the Bible like that and they misread the Bible and they take it and they're destroyed by it. By this right here, they're destroyed by it. Amen. That's exactly. Now, who has ever taken the thing back there and got it on the tape? Write down, don't misread God's roadmap. Where's he at? Don't misread God's roadmap. That's the name of my message tonight. Well, when I got my pickup and I was going to go down to that big preacher's conference down there in Idaho, and I got my pickup and I said, Louise, you want to go with me? And she says, no, I don't want to go with me. And she's usually my roadmap reader. But I went by myself and I opened up the roadmap right there beside me in my truck. And I drove down from Kalispell down through Missoula and went down through the Bitterroot Valley and up over Lost Trail Pass down into Simon, Idaho. Anybody ever been to Simon, Idaho? Simon, Idaho? Anybody ever been there? That's too far away for you folks. But anyway, I was down in there like that, and when I drove on through town, got through town, and I said, now here's a good place to get lost. If I go over there, it's going to cost me big time. And I don't know where that road goes. So I want to get this road just right. I went there and I stopped, and I grabbed the map up like that and says, I put my finger on the map and says, if I go up here, it'll go right down there like that. And so all I have to do is just go right over there and it'll come out the same place. So just a little bit of time, I've got it. Good. Got my, went down through there, and I started driving up this big hill, up this pass, and I said, I've never been up this road before. And I drove around. I went switchbacks like that, and almost 390 degrees like that, and up there I went 6,800 feet right straight up to the top. Something says, are you going to turn around and go back? You've misread the road map. No, it's got to get better. I drove down another 6,000 feet all the way around, 360 degrees. I could look up and see the road right up there like that. And it took me a half hour to get down to the bottom of the hill. And then it went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth like this. I was 2.5 hours late. Just because I misread the road map. You cannot misread that book right there, you will get in trouble. Amen. It's God's road map, and it's a road map through life. And if you misread the road map through life, you will flat get in trouble. Don't misread the road map. Now I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, I want to show you a verse for folks who've misread the road map. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, write down the first misreading of the road map that put people in hell. Puts people in hell because they misread the road map. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to misread the road map. I'm going to come along there and I'm going to go like this. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to be baptized to be saved. And if you're not baptized, you're going to die and go to hell. You got to be baptized in this water baptismal pool up there, or you're going to die and go to hell and burn in hell forever because you haven't been washed and baptized. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. I've got the Bible and the Bible says so. Amen. Did anybody follow what I just said? I took a verse and I misread it. You don't get to heaven by being baptized in water. You go to hell with somebody sticking that down your throat and say, I got to be baptized to be saved. I got to be baptized to be saved. Yes, you do. You got to be baptized to be saved. I got a Bible verse. You go to hell. You misread the road map. You misread the road map. If you're trusting in your baptism to be a Savior, and you say, oh, I'm going to heaven, I've been baptized, I was baptized in this church, I was baptized in this church, I'm going to heaven because I know I've been baptized, you'll wake up in hell screaming for the mercy of God and there'll be no mercy. That? You misread the road map. Now let's read the road map again. Let's come down there and let's read the road map right. In Acts chapter 2, let's read verse 38 again. I'll take your pen and mark something. In verse 38 it says, then Peter said unto what? Them. Circle of them. Circle of them right there in your Bible. Circle of them. Don't misread the road map. Then. And now take your pen and draw a line out in the margin of your Bible. And draw a line right straight back there. To Acts chapter 2, and this time read verse 36. Therefore, let all the what? House of Israel. Now underline it. House of Israel. You say, why is that important? Because who Peter is talking to is very, very important. House of Israel. Now take your hand right there and draw it back a little bit further. Draw it back to in the very same chapter. Draw it back to verse 22. And it says in verse 22, it says, what is the first four words? Amen. Yea, men of Israel. There it is again. Now go back to verse 14. Go back to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, yea, men of Israel. Now go back to verse 5. Go back again to verse 5. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem, what?
Jews.
Now what had just happened in Acts chapter 2? In Acts chapter 2, the Jewish nation has been guilty of crucifying their Messiah. Is Jesus Christ the Messiah? He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of all mankind. How many of you have the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your heart? Say amen.
Amen.
But see, they had just crucified the Messiah. So Simon Peter is preaching to the nation of Israel, trying to get the nation of Israel to repent from crucifying their Messiah. And so many a preacher today has taken and stolen that text of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and hundreds and thousands of people in the world are going to hell because they misread Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If you understand what I just said, say amen.
Amen.
Now take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 8. They should have read this verse. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is the way they should have read the Word of God. Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, let's pick up verse 37. I want every one of you to turn to Acts chapter 8. And I want you to turn to verse 37 in your Bible. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody tonight. But just maybe, perhaps, somebody has a Bible here tonight that in Acts chapter 8, they do not have verse 37. Anybody got a Bible like that that does not have verse 37 in that Bible? There's all kinds of Bibles in America. Say that. Amen, folks.
True.
Hundreds of different Bibles. Anybody have a Bible here this evening that does not have verse 37? You know all the modern Bibles today, you know what they do with verse 37? They take out verse 37. They take out verse 37. Why did they take verse 37 out? Let's read the verse in front of it. Because this is the verse that would straighten out all those folks that believe that baptism saves you. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 36, let's read it. And as they went on their way, there came came into a certain water. It's a river running down through there. Came into a certain water. And Enoch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Now he's asking if he can get baptized. Folks, you see that? So in the New Modern Bible, verse 37 is taken out. Why is it taken out? Because they want you to trust in your baptism. Have you ever been baptized? You've been baptized. You ain't trusting in that baptism to save you, are you? It's after you got saved. And here's the key verse that you want to memorize to prove that that baptism don't save you. You're trusting in only in the blood of Jesus. All Mormons in America say you have to be baptized to be saved. You sound preachers, Mormons don't say that. Well, every good Mormon would say that. Every good Mormon would say you have to be baptized to be saved. Every good Catholic would say you have to be baptized to be saved. Come on, folks, stay right with me. You say, what are these folks doing? They've misread the roadmap. They've misread the roadmap. You come along there and you take that roadmap and you trust in that roadmap and you trust in your baptism to save you and you'll die without Jesus Christ and wake up in hell. Don't you ever tell anybody they have to be baptized to be saved? had nothing to do with their salvation whatsoever. Here it is, verse 37. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he said, and he answered and said, now watch it, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Your Bible's got to have verse 37 because it shows you that a man believes in Jesus before he gets baptized. Before he gets baptized. Then he should read it. Don't you misread your roadmap. Now take your Bible and I want you to turn to another verse. Take your Bible and turn over there to James and turn to James chapter 2 and pick up verse 20. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 20. Don't misread the roadmap. If you misread the roadmap, you're liable to do just like I did. You're liable to go back and forth and 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 get all messed up because you misread God's roadmap. Don't you misread God's roadmap. It has a certain plan, a certain way, and you can't misread it. You're going to get in trouble if you misread it. Pay attention to what you read, and don't you apply something that doesn't apply to you. My Bible says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to. So every time you open up the Bible, you're saying this, "Lord, I'm in trouble, and I need some guiding." No, we all get in trouble, folks. We all get in trouble. Every one of you get in trouble. If some kind, every one of you are in trouble of some kind. But when you get in that trouble, you go to this book, and then you say, "Now, Lord, please show me the verse I've got to have," and you get that one, don't you misread it. Don't you misread it. You make sure that thing says about exactly what it applies to, and apply that thing right, and you can get something from God. Now, here we go. Here we go. James, the book of James, and turn to James chapter 2 and pick up verse 20. James chapter 2, verse 20. Now, stay with me. James chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But what thou knowest, O vain man, that faith without works is what?
Dead.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac and his son upon the altar? Seest thou how that faith with thy works and by thy works faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by what?" Did it say not by faith alone? Is not by faith only? Then is a man saved by faith and works? That's what it just said. It said a man saved by faith and works. Said that. That's what the Bible says. Bible says man saved by faith and works. You say it didn't say that. It did too. Absolutely did say that. You say, man, preacher, see there? If you don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, you won't go to heaven when you die. You misread the roadmap. You misread the roadmap. Now you say, prove it to me. Okay, glad you ask. Take your Bible and turn. I want you to turn Revelation chapter 7 in one hand. And Revelation chapter 7 in one hand. And I want you to get Romans chapter 11 in the other hand. And I want you to get James chapter 1 in the other hand. Get Revelation. And I know you don't have three hands, but that's okay. You know what I'm at. Get Revelation chapter 7 now. Revelation chapter 7 in one hand. Get Romans chapter 11 in the other hand. Real quick now, because you want to answer that. There are hundreds and thousands of people in America today that have misread the roadmap. Not just a few. Not just a few. They'll say, faith and works, faith and works, faith and works, faith and works. You'll hear it over the television, you'll hear it over the radio, you'll read thing after thing about it. You're not saved by faith and works. And you better know the answer, because you can't. Now some folks come along and say, "Well, the Bible really didn't say that. Bible really didn't say that." What we'll do is we'll just change that. And if you change the roadmap, you know what you're going to do? You're going to put a detour on somebody. You change that road map, you'll give them a detour, and you'll mess them up worse. Leave the road map alone. There's nothing wrong with the road map. Leave it like it is. Don't misread the road map. Now, here we go again. Revelation chapter 7. Now, pick up verse 7. You say, what does this have to do? This has to do with James chapter 1, verse 1. I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. Now, watch it. Now, underline it. Of all the tribes of the children of what? Israel, that's the Jews that are going to be saved during the great tribulation when it occurs on this earth. Now watch what it says. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12 tribes. You said nobody knows where those tribes are. God does. Amen. God knows where every single tribe is in the Jewish nation and where they are in the entire world. And when they go back to the land of Palestine, God will know every single Jew and what tribe he is from in the land of Israel. And in the great tribulation, there's 144,000 Jews that are saved. 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 Now watch it. Look at James chapter 1, verse 1. James chapter 1, verse 1. Now, don't misread the road map. Folks misread the road map, and because they misread the road map, they get all messed up, and they think baptism will save them. And there might be somebody here tonight say, well, preacher, I just wanted to see what you was like. I just, a little curiosity killed the cat, and I just wanted to see what this wild guy was like. And so I just come to listen to you tonight, but I'm really trusting in my baptism to save me. Well, if I got one person like that, I'm after him tonight. If I just got one, I'm after him tonight. Your baptism will not save you. Because James, now James chapter 1, let's read it. James chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the what, folks? 12 tribes. You just read the 12 tribes in Revelation chapter 7. They match it. So the book of James is aimed right at a man in the middle of the tribulation. What is he supposed to do in the great tribulation when the Antichrist sets up the mark of the beast? He can't take the mark. So it's faith and what? And come on, say it boldly, folks. Faith and what? Works in the tribulation. That's not so now. And you know what some of our Christian brethren say? Oh, that's heresy. Heresy. You know, some of you are going to get in bad trouble because somebody's going to come along, flip open James chapter U, and show you that a man is saved by faith and works, and you'll have to change the Bible to answer him. And then when you change the Word of God to answer him, you're in bigger trouble. Because you changed the Word of God to answer him. All you have to do is figure out where you're at on the road map. Figure out where you're at on the road map. Don't apply verses of Scripture that don't apply to you. Now here we go again. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Where are you at on the road map? I grabbed that road map and I put my finger down on it and said, I'm right here. And I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I messed up and it spent me another 2 or 3 hours getting back on time again. Up and down and around and everywhere because I misread the road map. Don't misread the road map going to heaven. That's road map. That road map will guide you through life more. And if you put your life by that road map right there, you can't go wrong with that road map. When you get in trouble and you say, where am I at? Where am I at? Oh God, where am I at? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? Don't go to a lawyer. Now, did you hear what I said? I said, don't go to a lawyer. Go to that book. You know what people do? They go to the lawyer instead of going to the book. You don't believe me, do you? Don't believe me. Then go to a psychiatrist. Instead, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. Go to a psychiatrist then. All he do is get your money. That's what you get. And you won't go to the book, will you? When you get in trouble, Christian, go to the roadmap of life and say, oh God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That roadmap will guide you right every single time if you don't misread it. But if you misread it, you're in trouble. You misread the roadmap. Now, take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 11 and pick up verse 25 and see where you are at on the roadmap. Romans chapter 11 verse 25 says, I would not, brethren, that you should be what? Ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in what? In part, not in whole. Thank God that there's some Jews that can receive Jesus Christ and get saved. It's only in part. I'm looking for a Jew that I could lead to the Lord. I am. If I could just find me one. Why? It says over there in the book of Genesis, he said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And he said that about the Jewish nation. So I said, if I can find me one, you watch out for that guy that cusses the Jew and blames the Jew for all that problem. The Jew ain't the problem. Come from Esau and Edomites. The Edomites and Esau. And that thing's here from Esau and Jacob. And it's been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Jesus Christ is a Jew. And real Christianity comes from the Jew. My Savior was a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you do that. But remember, when you come to that Bible, you got to come to that book and you say, now was it Jew, is it Gentile, or was it Church of God? There's three places, Jew, Gentile, Church of God. And some of them are me, some of them are not me. Now let's read the next verse. See where you're at. Verse 26, and so all what? Israel shall be saved. As is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. One of these days God's going to convert the whole Jewish nation, and he's going to do it right in the middle of the tribulation. James chapter 2 is aimed at a Jew, not you. Not you. Don't you go to James chapter 2. Don't you say, I got to be baptized to be saved. That's misreading the roadmap. Take your roadmap. Yes, amen. Take your roadmap and turn to the book of Acts now. And I want you to get the roadmap again. And I want you to get Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And in Acts chapter 19, I'm going to give you a verse of scripture that come folks to try to misread the roadmap to you. And I wonder how many of you have been asked this question. Acts chapter 19. Now let's read verse 2. Are you with me? Don't misread the roadmap. Don't you come along there and say, Acts chapter 2, verse 19. Here we go. You with me? And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost. What's the next word? Since ye believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Somebody going to put that on you. Somebody come along and say, I have got the gift. Do I have the gift? I've got the gift. What you need is you need what I got. And you need to get what I've got. I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he takes the Bible and says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And you go, since I believed? Well, Since I believed? And then you put that doubt in there. And then you got the doubt, and then the devil whispers in your ear, you lost it, stupid. And you say, yeah, that's it, that's right, I lost it, and I need to get it back. What did you say you had? Come on with me, and what you got to do is you got to, you've got to do this now. What you got to do is you've got to speak in tongues like I speak in tongues. And you've got to work. Come on, now, come on, come on, work. Come on, you got to get going. Get going. I spoke in tongues. You're a preacher, they don't do that. You've never met them. You've never met them. Out in front of my church, I had two of those United Pentecostal guys come up in front of my church. Come up there and say, you got to be baptized to be saved. And you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you got to speak in tongues. And he opened up the Bible and I says, you're going to hell like a bullet. You're not very sweet. You're not very sweet. You're not very kind. I says, you're going to hell like a bullet, and you're taking people to hell like you, and you're a false prophet, and you're a dirty, rotten liar. And then one of them started speaking in tongues. And I says, all the clowns ain't in the circus. Right in front of my church, you know, they knew who I was. Pastor Bemis, they knew who I was. I wasn't real nice to them, and I'm not going to be nice to them. They're putting people in hell. Why should I be nice to somebody that's damning a soul to hell? Tell me that. And if you don't think Jesus Christ was nice, you ought to saw him talk to the Pharisees. They was ready to kill him by the way he talked to them. You're going to be nice to them? What's wrong with you? He kept going on, and finally I says, oh, all the crooks ain't in the mafia. I got that from somebody else, but I mean, it went good. Finally he got going and says, I can work miracles. And Matthew chapter 16 says, if you pick up any deadly thing and drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. I says, fine, bud, stand right there. I went out in my garage, got a 5-gallon can of gasoline, brought it back around there, come around there, and sit down there and said, now drink it if it won't hurt you. Do you think they drink that gasoline? They didn't drink the gasoline. You know why? Because they're crooked. Because they're crooked. And that's exactly what they try to jam down your throat right there. Jam it down your throat and deceive you. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, let's read the roadmap right. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go back there to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, verse 24, I want you to read verse 24. And a certain Jew named what? Apollos, underlying his name Apollos, born at Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, and spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now underline it real clear. Knowing only the baptism of who? John. So here's a man. Here's a man right here. Because we pick him up again in verse 19:1. Skip down to 19:1. And it come to pass that while Apollos... What is it called? So underline Apollos there. Draw a line back up to the Apollos in 1824. Apollos. Was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and find certain disciples of Apollos. Now, who were they? They're folks that was back there before the cross of Calvary. It was back there under the John the Baptist. Before the cross of Calvary, they were baptized by John the Baptist. They missed Calvary. They didn't know Calvary took place. They didn't know Jesus died in the cross of Calvary. They lived on past that time. So when Paul says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He's talking about them believing under John the Baptist. They believed the preaching of John the Baptist. They were baptized by John the Baptist. They believed under his ministry. And if they had died right then, they'd have went right straight to heaven. But they didn't hear about the cross of Jesus dying for their sins, was buried and resurrected. And they come on past that. So when they get on this side of the cross, they're still the converts of John the Baptist. They need to hear about what? They need to hear that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. You got that? Amen. How many got it? Say amen.
Amen.
So the next time some Pentecostal comes to you and says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe?" You say, "I received him when I believed."
Amen.
Now you're listening to me? You say to him, "I received the Holy Spirit when I believed."
Yep.
And then when he says, "Prove it," you say, "Fine, I'm glad you asked me." Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans, and turn to Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 9. Memorize the verse, Christian. Some Episcopalians are going to heaven. Some Lutherans are going to heaven. Some Catholics are going to heaven. Some Jehovah's Witnesses are going to heaven. Some Mormons are going to heaven. How many believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Sure. Well, I'm doubtful about some folks, but I'll tell you, I believe that God has saved people in every church. I believe they're saved. Just not us Baptists are going to get to heaven. If you think just Baptists are getting heaven, you're in trouble, boy. You're in trouble. Don't you go down that road and say, "Baptists are the only ones that's going to go to heaven with the bride of Christ." Don't you come off with that kind of stuff. Come on. Now here we go. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. And in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, I want you to read the verse with me. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, "But ye were not in the flesh." Read it with me. "But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." See that? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't misread the roadmap. Don't misread the roadmap. The roadmap will get you to heaven, and don't you misread it. All right, take your Bible, and I want to give you one more. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And there was probably, there's so many places a Christian can misread in the Bible that it's pathetic. But don't misread the roadmap. You know how you don't misread the roadmap? You always ask yourself some certain questions. Now write them down. Now take your pen, write them down. Number one, write it down. Take your pen, write it down. This is how you won't misread the roadmap. Number one, who is God talking to? Write it down. You won't misread the roadmap if you do these. Who is God talking to? Who's he talking to? Now you say, why is that important? Write that underneath of it. Sometimes he's talking to an unsaved man. Sometimes there's a lot of verses in the Bible that are aimed at unsaved people. That's who they're aimed at, unsaved people. Don't you take a verse that's aimed at unsaved people and apply it to yourself. It will mess you up. All right, sometimes God's talking to the devil. What if you took a verse that's aimed at the devil and you applied it to yourself? Wouldn't you be a character? All right, sometimes he's talking to backslidden Christians. Sometimes he's talking to Christians that are in fellowship. So you better know who God is talking to. Write down three groups of people in the Bible. Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. Write them down. The Church of God is saved people. If you're here tonight, you're not a Gentile, you're not a Jew. You're in the Church of God, you're saved. You've lost your nationality. You are in Jesus Christ. Bible speaks of those three people. How many say, "I'm a Christian"? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now remember who he's talking to. Number two, always ask yourself, what did he say to them? Not what did he mean to them. What did he say to them? Always ask yourself that question. What did he say to them? And then last of all, what did he mean by what he said? Last of all, what did he mean by what he said? Nine times out of ten, write this down. God meant what he said, said what he meant, and if he didn't mean what he said, he should have said what he meant. Now that may be seem very, very simple. You say, man, preacher, you're too simple. No, if God did not mean what he said, he should have said what he meant. God said what he meant right there, and if he didn't mean that, he shouldn't have said that. He said it, and he meant it just like he said it. All right, now, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, pick up verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now many, that's one of the devil's favorite verses. You know that? Devil has favorite verses. You ought to learn what the favorite verses of the devil are. You ought to learn them. And you say, how do you learn the devil's favorite verses? The devil has a set of favorite verses, and you ought to know what they are. And you ought to meditate on them a while, because the devil constantly uses those favorite verses. You say, the devil don't use the Bible. Oh, yes, he does. And he uses that verse right there. Many in that day will say, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works in thy name? This world is full of hypocrites. Amen and amen, brother. This world is full of phonies and blonies. Pretenders. I'm a Christian. Now watch what it says. Underline it. I never knew you. God says on that great judgment day, he'll say, I never knew you. Look what he says after that. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now right there, write down 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Don't misread the roadmap. Many of Christians read that verse and got so frustrated they thought they lost their salvation. They thought they weren't saved. I've seen Christians read that verse and just almost go into the raptures. They misread the roadmap. Now watch it. Watch it. Now 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 says, are you with me? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What is it? The Lord knoweth them that are what? His. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord Jesus Christ knows me. He knows me. He knows me. Then he can never say to me, Nathan, Bemis, I never knew you. Can't say that to me. He'd have to be a liar. Because he knows me. Does he know you? He knows you, brother. He can never say that to you. So that verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23 is not a real Christian. He's not a saved man. He's an unsaved man pretending to be saved. Not born again. He's not going to heaven when he dies. Don't you misread that roadmap right there. That's the Lord's roadmap. Now I'm giving you one more verse. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. This is the reason why Christians misread the roadmap. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 15. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is why folks misread the roadmap. And I'm giving you this verse, and I'm going to quit with this verse. But I want you to get this verse, and I want to ask you something about this verse. And it says, are you with me? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the what? Word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Then the Bible has divisions. Has divisions in it. The Bible is to be rightly divided. And you got to be, write down one word, a dispensationalist. And if you're not a dispensationalist, you can't rightly divide the Word of God, and you will never understand the Bible. It says study. Does your Bible say study?
Amen.
How many got a Bible here that did not say study? Then take that Bible and throw it in the dipsy dumpster. No, don't do that. Don't throw it in a dipsy dumpster. Take that Bible and set it down in your desk over there. I'm just kidding when I say throw it in a dipsy dumpster, folks. Set your Bible down right there like that. And then go down here at the store, Christian bookstore, or go down to one of these stores and buy you a King James Bible. How many of you got a King James Bible on you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm in the right church. Take that thing, put that King James Bible right beside it, and then go down here to the Salvation Army. Go down to Salvation Army, go in there and say, the good news for modern man. And they'll say free on there. Say free, free. Salvation Army gives away Bibles free. Don't they? They do in my country. They do in my country. In my country, you go to Salvation Army, all the Bibles they give away free. There's no King James Bibles in there, but it's all that other stuff in there. And I collect them all. I collect them all, and I got a stack of Bibles that big. And you say, what are you going to do with them all? Lay them out there and get everyone you can possibly find. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 15, and not one single one of them says study. Not one of them says study. Why did the devil take study out of all those Bibles? Why did the devil take study out of them? Because he don't want you to read that road map right. Wants you to misread that road map so you come up and somebody put a verse of Scripture on you and mess you up with a verse of Scripture and you mess yourself up with a verse of Scripture. So he's got power and from God Almighty to change all those Bibles and took the faith away from that book. You believe that book, make sure you study that book. Make sure you read that book. Make sure you go by that book. All right, every eye closed, every head bowed. Oh, Christian, don't misread God's roadmap. God has a roadmap for you. And if you misread God's roadmap, you're liable to take a detour. And a detour off of God's will. And detour you down somewhere in life. And then when you get down to the end down there somewhere, you look back and say, I took a detour. I took a detour. Oh God, I took a detour. You know why? Because you misread that roadmap. Now you say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Well, you better make sure what that Bible says, and you better go by it. You say, well, the Bible says this, but you're going to get yourself in trouble. That's misreading the roadmap. That ain't even reading the roadmap. Got to read the roadmap? Go by the roadmap. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Now, Christian, I don't know where your life's at. I don't know anything in your life. I don't know all the stuff in your life that's there. I don't know your heart. But I know something. You can sure misread that roadmap. Now, how about it? Is your life matching that book the best you can? The best you can? Is your life matching that book? Every eye closed. Maybe there's a Christian here and say, preacher, I'm going contrary to the book. Going contrary for it there. It's not in there. What my life is not in that book. And I know it, and I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Is everyone like that? All right, you Christians here. You Christians here. Well, you say, preacher, to the best of my ability, I'm trying my best to go by what that book says. Will you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. Amen. I'm in the right church. I'm in the right place. Now, keep right on doing that. When it gets rough, gets tough, and gets hard, and you begin to scream and holler, make sure you keep right on going by what that book says. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray as the rapture draws close to this period of time, and Lord, as time becomes rough, there's a lot of things, and Lord, I believe it's going to get much rougher than it is now. And Lord, I pray that your people will remember this message and say, I'm going to go by the book, I'm not going to misread the roadmap, and I'm going to go by it no matter how tough it gets. I'm going to be there doing what that book says. In Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Let's all stand.